both in this morning's Torah portion and in this morning's Haftarah, we're told something that won't surprise you. Don't worship idols. It's a bad thing. You shouldn't do it. And while I don't know if anybody has ever made a count of the number of times it says in the Tanakh as a whole that you shouldn't worship idols, I think that it's a pretty good bet that if you knew nothing of the Jewish tradition, nothing of Jewish history, and nothing of the Jewish people, and you just read the Tanakh from the first page to the last, you would know you shouldn't worship idols. God gets very upset. The prophets get upset. You shouldn't do it. But here's a surprising fact. If you read that same Tanakh from the beginning to the end and you knew nothing again about Jewish history or the Jewish people or Jewish tradition, just the Tanakh, here's something you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that you shouldn't be an atheist or an agnostic. You wouldn't know that it's bad to question whether God exists. You would know that you're not supposed to worship another God. But nowhere in the Tanakh does it say, and by the way, it's a bad thing to harbor doubts about the existence of this God. Now that is a fascinating and an improbable result of reading through the Tanakh. And we have to ask ourselves, why is it so? I mean, clearly, look, the first commandment says, I'm the Lord your God. But then it goes on to say, not therefore believe in me, but lo ta'aseh lecha Elohim acherim al panai. You're not allowed to have any other gods. So basically, you can't have more than one. But the Torah doesn't go saying, and be careful not to have fewer than one. Why is that? So I have a theory that I want to test out on you that I think arises from our tradition. And that is the idea that in fact human beings are in their very nature believers. Man is born believing, said Emerson. We bear belief as a tree bears apples. We believe in lots of things all the time. Sometimes we believe in people, sometimes we believe in causes, sometimes we believe in ideas, sometimes we believe in schemes. Sometimes we even believe in ourselves. We're filled with beliefs. And belief spills over into worship. And so if you look throughout Jewish history, what the prophets have been upset about is that the people worship the wrong things. It is idolatry to worship the Torah. It's not idolatry to cherish the Torah, but it's idolatry to worship the Torah. The Torah is not God. It's idolatry to worship the land of Israel. It's not idolatry to cherish the land of Israel, but to worship it, the land is not God. It's idolatry to worship the Jewish people. It's idolatry to worship anything except for God. And that's why that innate capacity for worship is why you find, for example, especially when people are young, it's not that they like a certain basketball player or a certain rock star. It's that they worship them, that person seems flawless to them. Because we have within us the capacity for reverence. And the Jewish tradition is concerned that we don't turn that capacity to something that is not eternal. And the worship of anything that's not eternal is idolatry. And there's only one thing that's eternal, and that's God. But where Judaism is concerned to limit the focus of our belief, it is not concerned to limit the questions of our minds. Can you question? Of course you can question. A man once came to the Kotzke Rebbe, and he said to him, "Rabbi, a terrible thing has happened to me. I've begun to question God." And the Kotzke said, "So what?" He said, "Well, my God, if God doesn't exist, then the Torah wasn't given by God." And the Kotzke Rebbe said, "So what?" He said, "Well, if the Torah wasn't given by God, then all the things that I do in my life, I don't know if, in fact, they come from something beyond myself." And the Kotzke Rebbe said, "So what?" And the man said, "Well, I can't sleep at night because I don't know if I'm living the life that I'm supposed to be living." And the Kotzke said, "Ah, that's what I wanted to know. As long as those questions keep you up, you're a good Jew." It wasn't the questions that scared him. As long as you're grappling with the questions that Judaism brings to the world of God, of Torah, of the way to live a good life, can you have doubts? Of course you can have doubts. The fear is not that you will have questions. The fear is that you will have misdirected belief, that because you have questions, then you'll start to worship money. Then you'll start to worship people. Then you'll start to worship businesses or lands or learning or, God forbid, leaders, and not worship God. That's why again and again and again, what we hear is, "Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel." Don't make for yourself an idol. Not "Lo ta'aseh lecha she'ela." Don't make for yourself a question. A question is a good thing. A question opens worlds and deepens souls. Our tradition is not against answers. We like answers too. But we're not opposed to questions. Remember that the very name of our people is struggling with God, Yisrael. That the struggle itself is holy, and that indifference is the enemy, not spiritual struggle. We are now in a very poignant and filled time of the Jewish year. We're close to Sinai. We're coming towards the end of the counting of the Omer. In a little more than a week, it is Shavuot, when we come to the time that we receive the Torah again, symbolically. And what you do at that time is you study Torah. And the study of Torah is in part, as those of you know who were here earlier and heard me talk about Abravanel, is in part the formulation of questions. That's how Abravanel wrote his commentary. Before every section of his commentary, he lists 8, 9, 10 questions, and then he tries to answer them all. And as everybody who has ever read Abravanel's commentary know, sometimes his questions are better than his answers, which means that he leaves you searching, because the questions are always great. So don't be afraid of questions. Don't be afraid of doubts. Don't be afraid of arguments about things that matter. Just be afraid of settling your capacity for reverence on something that is unworthy of it. In other words, on something other than God. In our day, we have to remember that that was what Judaism taught to the world. It didn't teach belief. The world was filled with belief before we came. It just sought to teach the world what was important to believe in. And as Abraham Joshua Heschel said, God is either of ultimate importance or of no importance. If you make a small God, that too is idolatry. God is everything and beyond everything. Not threatened by our questions or doubts or struggles. So when Yirmiyahu, in this morning's Haftarah, says that God will teach us and instruct us, that's what we mean. That as the theologian Chesterton said, it just isn't true that when you don't believe in something, you don't believe in anything. When you don't believe in something, he said, you end up believing in everything. When you don't have a focus for your faith, there are all sorts of imitators that come along and try to grab that capacity for reverence. We worship only God. And if along the way you have doubts about what that means, just know that it is in part because it is larger than our ability to conceive. But at night as we look at the sky, or this morning as we look in the face of somebody sitting next to us, we remember that God is Mechaye HaKol, the one who creates and sustains all the world, and that only to God are our prayers due. And so we pray, we question, we sing, we struggle, we believe. Shabbat Shalom.